Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hey everyone, it's David. I wanted to pop on before today's episode, and I wanted to wish everybody a really happy new year. You know, as I talked about in previous episodes, over the course of the year, I've decided to bring in as many movers and shakers and resources to help each and every one of you be the best version of yourself in 2019. Now, that said, there's no better time than the present to roll out a recent interview I did with my former client and good friend, Marla Mattinson. Marla is the perfect example of what's possible when you make the decision to transform your life, because she's done it, and I can't wait to share her story with you. I hope you enjoy our conversation, because I certainly did. It was a really great day. Also, don't forget to join us on our Transformation 2019 Facebook group page and make your transformation known so that we can all support each other. It's really ramping up in there, and we're having a great time, so I hope to see you in there. And I would really love you to be part of it. See you all there. Hey everyone, this is David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. And today I have a very, very special guest with us, Marla Mattinson, who is a relationship expert for entrepreneurial couples. She's a dear friend, and I used to mentor you back in the day. So welcome. It's great to have you here.
I am so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. So you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Let's do this. Okay. So, you know, one of the things that I'm doing this year is talking to people that are experts in their field that have a really good handle on making money. They're also coming from a place of where there's no shame in the amount of money that they make and the success that they have. They stand in it, you know, really proud of themselves and proud of how they're helping other individuals. For women, it's you know, the whole idea of the, you know, the successful feminine and women really standing in their power and just doing amazing things, you know, like we're, you know, the whole idea is just having amazing people that are doing amazing things and sharing that with the world in a way that, you know, gives hope, inspiration, and education to people to be able to do, you know, some of the same things themselves. So I wanted to start off asking you if you would tell us about your journey, about where you are today as a seven-figure relationship coach, I'm sorry. And like where you came from when you first started and what that journey's been like.
That's a huge question.
Yeah.
I'm going to nail it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
So when I first met you, I was still a high school math teacher working with inner city kids in Los Angeles Unified, loving my work and knowing I was hiding out and not living to my full potential. I remember at one of the events I was at with you, even what I was wearing was indicative of how much I was hiding. I wore clothes that were up to my neck and, you know, just hiding my body and just overall hiding the brilliance of who I am. And through listening to your audios and then hiring you privately and doing the work and showing up, I have been able to really claim being unapologetic about my power, about my feminine, about my sexy, about my work, and about wealth. And it's been, it's been painful at times. Yeah. It's, you know, there have been times where I felt like there was an 800-pound gorilla sitting on my chest. And I think that when I first started the work with you, I really came from the place of full surrender because I had no idea how to do what you were doing and what you were teaching other people to do. So really listening deeply to the teaching and taking action on any actionable item that I could was what helped pull me through those moments of pain.
Well, okay. So talk to us a little bit about the pain. Because I think that it's one of the things that I see people, they want to avoid. Like they want to avoid it. And yet it's such an integral part of the, of our learning. Give us a couple ideas of what the pain was like. Where did you find that pain? What was causing it? And how did you get through it?
So it showed up in a lot of different ways. So pain in the form of feeling paralyzed, like I didn't know what to do or how to take action. You know, I know you talk about how you would stare at the phone when you needed to make sales calls, and you'd stare at the phone until 5 o'clock. Well, I guess the day's over, right?
Right, right.
And for me, it showed up in, okay, I know I need to take action. I actually know the action I need to take. And then I have to ask myself, why am I not taking the action? And so the amount of time that I spent not taking action, sitting in the pain, dealing with the discomfort, started to get smaller and smaller and smaller until I could pivot on a dime where I could say, oh, here's that uncomfortableness. Here's that pain through the form of thoughts in my mind telling me I wasn't good enough or who's going to buy this or, you know, the thoughts happening or the emotions freaking out and feeling overwhelmed or through physical body sensations. Like I said, when it felt like there was a big gorilla on my chest, pain comes in the form of thoughts, emotions, and physical sensations. And all of those things, when they all happen at the same time, when you have the negative thoughts and the emotion and the physical discomfort, for me, that was the time where, I might stop. And so choosing to believe in your belief in me and your belief in the process, because you had helped so many people go through this in the past, and my own background from my meditation practice. I've been sitting Vipassana meditation since 2003, and that taught me how to sit with uncomfortable physical sensations. And so that background mixed with working with you helped me move through that pain faster and faster. And also it was a choice. I didn't want to sit in the pain any longer than I absolutely needed to in order to get the motivation to move forward.
What do you tell people? Because I know that you coach people, you mentor people on a lot of different things. Because you're an expert in many different areas in life and business. When people are coming up against that pain that causes them to want to stop, when they're just like they're paralyzed, they're crying, they don't think that they can take another step. What do you say to them?
The first thing I say to them is, I understand. I feel you.
So empathy.
Empathy. It's always first. Like, you're not alone. Everyone goes through this. Even I still go through it when I'm up-leveling and I'm doing something new that I've never done before because I feel called to move in that direction. I still experience the pain of the discomfort of something new. My mental capacity is different. My emotional capacity is different. And my physical capacity is different now. So I can greet all of that discomfort now with love and compassion. And because I practice that myself, I can also empathize with others and they feel the truth of it. I'm not just placating. I'm not just, oh, they're there. Yeah. Right. But really, truly like, oh man, I know you're in it. This is the moment. And the truth is when I was a high school math teacher, that's what I did in the classroom. So in the classroom, when the kids, I could see that they were freaking out and frustrated. And so I'd pause on the teaching and I'd say, okay, who's feeling really frustrated right now? Raise your hand. And the whole class, of course, raises their hand. And I would pause and say, oh, good. This is where, and they hated it, right? But this is where the learning happens. All the learning and the growth happens through that discomfort. And so I made it into a win in the classroom. And then, you know, we all went together along the path of learning and we helped each other. And so community is so important. And that's one of the things I love about you and your work and the team is that you've created an amazing community. That's why I keep coming back to events.
Yeah, for sure. Man, there's so much in that. That the sitting there across from the client when they're in that pain and the approach of empathy, but there's also a calmness that you bring to the table that I think has a major effect on someone else. Like they're freaking out inside, right? They're going through all the emotional and the physical symptoms of being afraid, and you're sitting there and you're calm and you're collected and you're not wigging out because they're wigging out. Do you think that that has an effect on them as far as their belief goes?
Yeah, it has a huge impact because I'm modeling what it looks like to deal with immense pain and move through it. And so the empathy is first, and then I wait until they receive it. So oftentimes as a mentor, as you know, you can be in a place of empathy and the client is still bouncing around, freaking out, and you just have to wait until they can receive the empathy and then they calm down. So then they're now embodying my vibe of calmness. And now there's an openness to receive something new. And so to receive something new, that's the new belief system that not only can you do this, you're meant to do this, right? Because if you have the vision and you have the desire for something more in your life, then you're supposed to have it. But it's not just going to come flying in the window, right? You have to actually go out and get it and be available for it and be open to seeing those opportunities.
What do you think has surprised you the most that you've learned or experienced that you didn't know you were going to learn or experience through your transformation?
Oh, I feel emotional now. My whole life has changed since working with you. I think the thing that surprises me the most is how much love and joy I have genuinely. Like, I love my life. I love people. I love helping others. Like, I didn't know how much joy I could experience through stepping into my purpose and moving beyond the discomfort. Like, beyond the discomfort is all the goodness. It's like, you know, did you see the Matrix when they were flying up in the aircraft beyond to the machine city, and then they break through the clouds and then they see that beautiful sun and it's like, oh, that's it.
Right.
You know, that's what it feels like on the other side of it. And that's why usually, you know, if you've broken through, you want to help others along the way.
Do you think that, and that's beautiful. It really is, because I can relate to that myself. And I'm just wondering, do you think that's because we have a preconceived expectation that it's always going to be hard, or is it real? Are we really ever really going to get there? Almost like a doubt that this sense of freedom and success is something that we can actually really experience. Like there's this lingering doubt, like the monkey mind, you know, there's that chatter in the back of your head. Like, am I ever really going to get there? Is this really going to happen? Can it be real for me, type of thing? And then when you find, when you experience the other side of it, it's better than you ever possibly thought. Do you think it's because of that chatter that's going on in your head?
I think that, you know, when you just said, you know, most of us, especially in the Western culture, believe that it has to be hard. We have to work hard to get it.
Sure.
And I think that releasing from it has to be hard was a huge pivot for me, because when I first started with you, I was willing to do the work. I was willing to grind and all of that. And I didn't realize how easy it could be. And you would tell stories over and over and over about the ease and the grace and the flow. And it takes work to get there.
Yeah.
And putting in the effort and the work is different than believing in the structure and the constructed belief of our system that believes you have to work hard in order to get results. That you know, there's this great story that Julian and I like to tell, Julian, my partner. When we were in France, we rented a car and we were driving along the highway out of the airport. And it was so difficult. Like, all the signs, of course, are in French. We don't read French. Julian's trying to read to me, you know, where to turn and everything. And he's doing it too late. And the signs aren't saying what he is reading. And so we were so frustrated. I made like 12 wrong turns. Finally, we ask ourselves, how can this be easier? We know it can be easier. And so he asked me, well, how can we make this easier? I said, well, you can turn the phone towards me so I can see the map, because I was driving. And that immediately made it easier. And then we said, well, how can it be even easier? And then he found a spot on the dashboard where the phone actually fit, because his hand was getting tired from holding, you know, his arm was getting tired from holding the phone.
Yeah.
He put it on the dashboard, and then, you know, he just put it on speakerphone so I could hear what the Google map was saying. And just every step asking how it could be easier, how can this have more grace, more ease, more flow, because I was getting frustrated with him. And every question had an answer of ease and grace and flow. And then we had an amazing drive through the south of France. So making it so your life is not hard and you're willing to take action. And I think there's a real subtlety there for people to really explore.
Yeah. Do you think that, well, I've always had this idea that hard work has also been linked to work that we don't enjoy, right? So it's not even so much that we have to work hard, but we have to work it hard at something that we don't enjoy. And is that even sustainable, right? So you really enjoy helping other people. You know, you have a real spot in your heart for other people, their possibilities, watching them transform. The actual desire for them to change. And is there anything about what you do now that you don't enjoy?
That's a great question. I have delegated most of that stuff.
Yeah. So you can step into doing what you're brilliant
yes,
at.
Yes, I really enjoy everything we do. Everything in our business that we do, I enjoy. And the things that I don't enjoy as much, like, for example, writing, I don't enjoy writing as much as I write. I get myself into the mindset of service, which is I'm writing this because it's going to help impact other people. And so that's what helps me change my mindset from not enjoying it and getting resistant to writing to actually writing, just getting it done.
So you're more of a verbal communicator?
Yes.
Yes.
I can talk all day long. I can be on video, podcasts, you know, all of that.
Right.
Anybody can ask me a question. I'm good to go. But if I have to write it down, I have to really pay attention and think about it. So oftentimes I'll actually speak it into a microphone and then just get it transcribed and then edit it from there. So there's always a workaround.
Yeah.
Rather than just, for me, what I was doing was not writing. And that is not in service of the bigger vision.
Exactly.
Right? So I chose to find a new way of getting the work done that needed to get done while enjoying it. Because, you know, I have really never done any job that I didn't enjoy. It's just not in my DNA. If I don't enjoy it.
So you're talking about most of
your life. Yeah, most of my whole life. Like, when I was a waitress, I loved being a waitress. I made it my, you know, mission to, when, you know, anybody who would come into the restaurant, it was my mission to have them leave a little happier, even if they were already happy, like that the experience with me, they would leave feeling a little more joy. And so I played little games like that to just enjoy my work. And I've always done that.
Okay. So that brings me to two questions then. So since we met, and we work together, and now you're off, you know, really doing your thing and making it grow. Number one, how has your life changed? And number two, how has that changed your approach to business?
I think the biggest way my life has changed is I feel so much more of who I really am. And this has to do with the quote that you have in your VIP room, which is about how much truth can you experience about yourself without running away, sure. right? And yeah. and you have that quote everywhere. Leland Vanderwall, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I know I'm hacking up that quote, but look it up. It's amazing.
Yep.
And I think that the biggest thing for me, the biggest life change is I'm willing to hear any feedback about me from the people who are in my inner circle, anyone who has direct access to me where they actually know me. I want feedback from others. I want to know, you know, how I'm impacting others. And when I, especially from Julian, because as soon as I'm available to receive the truth about me, not only from me, but from my inner circle of people who know and love me and want to see me grow, it breaks down the ego in a really loving way. And I've been able to really see some very ugly truths about myself and how I move through the world. And I've been able to shift those things. And so because of that, the way that's impacted my business is because there's nothing anybody can say to me that they could say to me that would ruffle my feathers or throw me off course. You know, I pretty much can receive anything from anyone.
Right.
And so I live my business that way also. And so anyone who works with me privately, they're going to get the exact same laser truth about them so they can break through their material faster and faster and faster. And there's just no limitation on any of it because I'm not resisting holding back the lies. You know, sometimes there's a scotoma, a blind spot that arises yeah. where I get a little glimpse of some way that I'm being in the world that's out of integrity. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I get a little glimpse of it, usually Julian's right there behind me going, oh, hey, take a look at this. And as soon as I can look at it genuinely with compassion for myself, it'll shift.
Yeah. Okay. So that's brilliant. And what has allowed you to get to the point where, you know, because everybody needs to hear those things, but there's a difference between needing it and what you said was you wanted to hear it. That's big, Marla. That's really different. And I know that the people that are listening to this, a lot of them are in the place where they need to hear it, but they don't necessarily want to. It's painful. It hurts, right?
Does it hurt? It hurts the ego.
Yeah, it does. It hurts the false self, for sure. What got you to the place where you were like, you know, I want to hear this? Because I remember you telling me, you know, like, if you see something in me, I want you to tell me. I want you to let me know what that is. What got you to the place where you're like, I want to know this. If I'm out of integrity or I, you know, here's a place where I can improve or here's a place where I'm screwing something up, I want to know about it. What got you there?
So a few things. A girlfriend of mine a number of years ago reflected for me, I was dating a friend of hers, and she said to me privately, very lovingly, you know, you're different with me than you are with him. And I had no idea. I had no idea I was doing that. I was putting on a good face for this guy and not being myself. And she saw it and she was like, what the hell are you doing? And so, and it was very loving, and I received it. And that was the first real opening. It was many years ago. It was the first real opening for me to realize maybe I don't know myself as well as I think I do. And if I can be open to receiving feedback from people outside of me, then I can get a more true picture of how I'm impacting others and how I'm moving through the world and how I'm seen in the world. Now, you know, you don't want to ask just any random person in your life. You want to ask people who know and love you and care about you and want your greatest growth to come in through the world, because it's dangerous to just ask, you know, somebody who's not going to be kind, you know, or they're going to try to take you out.
Let me just pause right there. Yeah. Could you tell everybody why it's dangerous? Because I think that's a very important word, and I agree with you. Tell people why it's dangerous to just accept that from anybody.
So if someone has unconscious ulterior motives, meaning the other person is not aware that they want to tear you down, okay? Oftentimes family members, they love us. They want the best for us in their mind. But if they're not doing the work also, then they're still wrapped in their pattern of don't go beyond our family. We want to keep it in the family with all of our limitations and all of our growth as we have defined it over, you know, the lineage. Yeah. And so unconsciously, oftentimes family members will undercut or try to take you out in some way and try to derail. Like even my father, when I was telling him early on, you know, how much it costs to go on a retreat with you, and he said, well, can't you find somebody else less expensive and get the same result? Totally
that.
Coming from a place of love in his mind. But for me, it was coming from a place of like, don't derail what I'm doing. First of all, no, nobody else could help me with that. David was the one, and that was it. That was, you know, and so I put my foot down on that. And then I never talked to him about that investment again, because right. he couldn't see beyond his own limitations. And we have to remember that if you're going to ask for people's advice on you, make sure you're talking to people who are further along the path than you. That's the word there, right?
Yeah.
That's the little phrase, further along the path than you. And one reason why I'm now so dedicated to the truth and have been for a while is I'm dedicated to the truth over anything else, over happiness, over comfort, over feeling good. Like just the other day, Julian said something to me that was quite unpleasant about me because I invited in, we have an agreement, and it was very truthful. Honestly, I can't remember what it was in the moment right now. And I cried. And he said, oh, should I not have said anything? And I said, no, you did exactly what we teach, what we practice.
Yeah.
My ego is just upset. Like, I don't want to be that person that you're saying that you experienced me as. And I'm so grateful that you're willing to tell me the truth of how you're seeing me show up, because how else am I going to know? How else am I going to know that I'm out of integrity, or that I'm off the path, or that I'm doing, you know, sabotage behavior or harming you in some way, unless you have the courage to tell me?
That's fantastic. And it's great that you have a relationship like that. What advice would you offer to people that get unsolicited comments or criticism by people that does not necessarily have a good intention, you know, but it's unsolicited. You didn't ask for it. What advice would you give our listeners for those individuals?
There are two words. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And move on.
Move on.
You don't have to engage. You don't have to defend. You don't have to tell them they're wrong. You don't have to try to analyze it and figure out where they're correct. Just say, thank you. I appreciate you sharing that with me. And move on.
That's great. Love that. One more question. What advice would you give to business owners or potential business owners about, just advancing in their career, their own personal success, stepping into their potential? What would you have to say to the people that are listening that are, just looking for a word of inspiration or direction?
I'd say if you know, and you're the only one who knows as the listener, right? If you know that there's more inside of you that wants to come out and share with the world, like you have some secret desires that you want to share, or you want to go experience travel, or you want to start a business, or you secretly are not in love with your partner anymore and you want to make a change, that you allow that to bubble up and keep it very contained. And this piece is really important. Just keep it really contained, like the Mona Lisa smile. Like you have a little secret that you're not going to tell anybody until you feel confident enough to bring it out into the world. So you keep it contained just with yourself. Allow it to simmer. Put it on the back burner and put it on simmer. Don't change your whole life right away.
Okay.
And then seek out a mentor. Obviously, highly recommend you everywhere I go.
Thank you.
And, you know, find a mentor that is further along the path than you, and bring that dream to that mentor and allow yourself to surrender into that mentor to let it grow.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. We have, I started something the beginning of this year called Transformation 2019. as part of my own transformation. In 2018, I looked at what are the things that I want to transform about myself personally and business-wise for 2019. And one of the things that I'm committed to transforming for myself is my own physical health, losing weight, getting myself into my best body that I want to get into. And we opened it up to everybody that's on the podcast. So we have a Facebook group called Transformation 2019. And I want to ask you, is there something that you'd be willing to share with our listeners that you'd like to transform as a commitment for 2019 for yourself, either personal or business? Or fun. Ooh. It doesn't matter what it is.
Ooh, I love it. First of all, I'm totally joining that group. What do I want to transform? I'm always transforming. I'll share that the biggest piece that has opened for me at the end of 2018 is what I want to cultivate more of in 2019, which is more play, more joy, more fun. Because, you know, life gets so serious, you know, and also sharing more vulnerability, like in social media, we started doing that more and just sharing more of how I've gotten from where I was to where I am now through the stories of what's actually happened and the vulnerable stories, because I share that with my private clients, but I haven't really shared the whole journey online. And so that.
Perfect. Fantastic. Well, great. So now you're going to be part of it. You'll be part of it. Julian's welcome also. If you want to go in when you have a chance to the Facebook thing and post that, that'd be great. You can do that if you want to. And what we're just doing is we're all just supporting each other. We're all just taking something in our life that we want to transform and putting it out there as an accountability type thing. And then I'm going to be talking to other people and be talking about my own transformation as I go through this for the next 12 months. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're hoping that a lot of people make transformations that they've always wanted to do, but have a safe and playful place to be able to do that. So
I love that. And, you know, what I chose was sharing more vulnerably out there. Maybe not, doesn't feel transformative for some people as I'm saying it. And for me, I know that through doing it, there will be a transformation in me. So, and in others when I share it. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, playfulness is like, it is huge. I think we should like play our way through life. I mean, why do things that aren't fun? Just, you know, just let's just have a ball doing it.
I'm a yes for that.
Awesome. Marla, thank you so much for being here. If people want to know more about you or look into what you're doing or get help from you, where could they go?
They can go to my website, which is marlamattinson.com, or The Intimacy Experts on Instagram, or Marla Mattinson on Facebook.
Fantastic. Well, for all the listeners out there, Marla is one of the most amazing teachers, mentors, and coaches that I know. I've watched her transform relationships like nobody else and help people in business all over the world. So make sure you check out her website and send her some love if you can on the Facebook page. And we'll be checking out. So, for everybody, again, if you want to commit to making a transformation for 2019, go to our private Facebook page, Transformation 2019. Put down your transformation. Let us know what it is, and let us help you cheer your way there. And like Marla said, let's make it playful too. Let's have fun doing it. Whatever your transformation is, let's keep it fun. So this is David Nagel and Marla. We're signing off. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you on the next Successful Mind podcast. Bye for now. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind podcast. Check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. And while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. Be sure to connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to my pages can be found in the show notes. And if you'd like to continue learning with me, go to davidnagel.com/start here for a free download. I'll see you next week.